That song reminded me of when the Israelites were at battle with the Philistines, and they realized they needed God if they wanted victory. And the scripture says in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 5, "And it happened as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp that all Israel shouted with a great shout, and the earth resounded." Can you imagine what the shout is going to be like when we get to heaven? It's going to be awesome. My brother Mark is 3 years older than I am. And of course, when we were growing up, we lived in the house with our father and our mother. And when I say the house, that's eight of them. My dad was a pastor and we moved around. But Mark and I were keenly aware of whether Dad was home or not. Were you like that when you were growing up? We were keenly aware whether Dad was home or not. And as I think back about that, of course, anytime we even considered doing something wrong, that was most likely when Dad was not home. Anytime Mark and I got into a little argument and we thought that might escalate a little bit, if we knew Dad were home, we had probably just worked that out. But there were other aspects of being aware of whether Dad was home or not. If Dad were home, there was the thought of, well, we might play basketball. We might go throw the football. We might go fishing. We might play ping pong. Dad being at home made all the difference in the world of how we lived out our day. And one of the things that I'm hoping to encourage all of us in this morning is recognizing our Father's presence and that having all the difference in the world about how we live out our day, because He's always home. Amen? Not only is He home in heaven, but He is home right here in His grace that He has poured out His Holy Spirit in our lives. And so there ought to be an anticipation in each day that our Father is with us, and therefore that has a bearing not only on things we know we ought not do, so we're not going to do that because we know His presence, but also in the anticipation of what will we do with the Father since He's home. And certainly as I think about us beginning this new school year and all of the insanity that surrounds it because of the virus and or because of what we've done with the virus, and that wasn't a political statement, it's just I don't know. And so I don't know how all that's going to work out, but I know there's one thing that is not different at all about this school year over against previous school years, and that is our Father is at home. He is with us. And so there ought to be an anticipation of our spending time with Him and communicating with Him during this school year. So if you're going to school as a student, if you're going to school as a faculty member, or if you're going to work, or if you're staying home, or wherever you are, there ought to be an anticipation in our life about communication with and life with our Father. You know, if you're going to work or if you're going to school on a particular day, there are certain people that you know are going to be there, that you know you're going to speak with. There are certain aspects of that day that are on the calendar, and you realize you will be talking with them about that. And so one of my prayers is that you and I will be anticipating the day, knowing not only how to talk with our Heavenly Father, but what to talk about. Okay? What are we going to talk about with our Heavenly Father? Psalm 86:11 says this, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to to fear thy name. Now, I want you to notice some key things in that verse. First of all, teach me. When's the last time that you asked your heavenly Father to teach you something? And notice what he's saying. Teach me thy way. All right? What is your way? What is the character I'm supposed to have? What do you want me to do in this circumstance? Teach me thy way. And you notice the anticipation already. I'm not waiting to see what it is to decide whether or not I want to do it. Teach me your way. I will walk in it. I already have that anticipation. Okay? Unite my heart to fear thy name. We're going to say some more things about thy way, thy truth, and thy name in a little bit. Notice in Luke chapter 11, the very first verse, Jesus had been praying. He did that all the time, talked with his heavenly Father. It came about that while Jesus had been praying in a certain place, that when he had finished, one of the disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray as John did his disciples." Now, we don't have any place in the scripture that records what John said to his disciples. We knew one of them was Andrew. We don't know what John said to them about prayer. We just know that he taught them about prayer. But the request is, "Lord, teach us to pray." Now, many of us would say, "Well, I already know how to pray." Okay, but let's see. In the sense of, not only how do we talk with our Heavenly Father, but what do we talk with Him about? Because, again, a lot of times, if we're not careful, when we're having conversation with God, we're educating Him. You know what I'm saying? We're educating God with what we want Him to know, with what we want Him to do. But, Lord, teach us to pray the way You want us to pray. I think about Psalm 25, verse 5. It says, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me." And so again, you notice the direction of the flow of life. The flow of life is, "Lord, You're walking in life. You're leading me. I'm following and I'm learning." So again, when's the last time you said, "Lord, teach me how to follow You, how to listen to You, what You want to talk about in life?" The direction of, "I'm waiting for You," as He says, "You're the God of my salvation." You know, the fact that we have a God has enormous implications. You have a God. So it's not just, "Okay, I've got this God who I need to educate every now and then so He knows what I want Him to do, when I want Him to do, how I want Him to do it." But I have a God, and so, "Lord, lead me, teach me. You're the God of my salvation. I wait for You all day long." See, a lot of times we're wondering what God is doing and how come He's not right with me doing what I want Him to do. And He's saying, "No, I'm waiting for Your answer to lead me. You step that way, I want to go in that direction. You teach me this about life, I want to learn it." So you see, the flow of life is, I'm looking to Him for guidance, not just going to Him when I want Him to do something for me. So, let's just pray right now. Would you pray with me? And when you bow your heads, let's just be very simple. Father, teach us how to talk with You, what to talk about, that we might listen and learn as we begin this school year. I pray for students, for faculty, and with all that is in mind to be accomplished, let each day be lived out with a very keen awareness that You are right there, and that each child of Yours will speak with You and talk with You about the things that You want to talk about, and be taught and actually learn the things that You want us to learn. And thank You that it is Your desire to do exactly that.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now somebody said, well, I thought we took prayer out of school. Well, no, we took prayer and the pledges off the school schedule, but you cannot take out of the heart of a child of God the intention and the ability to talk to his or her heavenly Father wherever he or she is. Amen? And so what a joy. So we anticipate the Father being right there. Praise the Lord. You know, when the disciple, whichever one that was, teach us to pray, usually we're there, and in Luke 11 it goes into what we call the model prayer. We're used to looking at the model prayer in the Gospel of Matthew, so that's where we're going to go in Matthew chapter 6. And so in Matthew chapter 6, we find where Jesus says, well, you need to pray in this way, and he begins, and we'll do it in the King James Version, since most of us who have memorized it did that way. Our Father which art in heaven, what's next? Okay, so you know it. But let's stop right there at Our Father, because that's where I stopped. Lord willing, we're going to do a series of sermons here that's not about learning a prayer that we can chant. It's asking Jesus to teach us how to pray, what to talk about when we talk with him, okay? And I just want to begin with Our Father. You have a Father in heaven. Now see, one of the things I want you to understand is that Jesus, when he came to earth, Jesus is introducing to us the full revelation of God the Father himself. Isn't that awesome? I mean, as the Bible says, that early on, God revealed himself through his activity, through his priests, through his prophets, in so many different ways, the book of Hebrews says, but in these last days has spoken to us through his Son, who is the exact representation of his nature. Jesus is the full revelation of God. So one of the things that Jesus is doing, very particularly when he comes to earth, when God comes incarnate and he comes to walk in our midst, he is revealing to us who God is. And so when he is answering this request, teach us to pray, he doesn't begin, say, dear God. Is it okay to begin a prayer with dear God? Yes. Is it okay to say, dear Holy Spirit? Yes. Is it okay to say, dear Jesus? Yes. Dear Lord? Yes. All that's fine. But Jesus starts with our Father. Now, a lot of us, because we have the whole Bible and we're on this side of the death, burial, and resurrection and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit and having the Word in written form, Genesis through Revelation, a lot of times we just kind of think, okay, God, we know, Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And a lot of us just kind of have in our mind, well, you've got Creator God the Father in the Old Testament. And then Jesus comes, God the Son, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels. Then Acts and the rest of the New Testament, well, we've got the Holy Spirit. But I don't know if you knew this or not, but in the Old Testament, God is introducing himself as Jehovah. That's what he did with Moses at the burning bush. Who shall I say sent me? I am that I am. Yahweh. Transliterated, Jehovah. Okay? Say, well, doesn't he introduce himself in the Old Testament as Father? Not very much. We find one verse in the entire book of Psalms that speaks of God as Father. One verse. When you get to the book of Isaiah, the first place it speaks of him as Father is in the prophecy about Jesus, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father. Then there's a couple of chapters toward the end of the book of Isaiah that mention him as Father. And then early in the book of Jeremiah, a couple times where he's mentioned as Father. The entire rest of the Old Testament, you got 39 books, three books. Psalm mentions him once. Isaiah mentions him three or so times. Jeremiah, two or three times, and that's it. And so you need to understand that when Jesus comes and he's introducing the Father to us in so many ways, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh, and no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son who's in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And so he's introducing to us the Father.
God as Father. See, in our minds, this is a well-developed concept, but it was not in their mind. And how incredible! As they had learned so many wonderful things about the almighty, majestic, powerful, only God, the God of Israel, because he was a different God than all the other gods of all the other nations, because he had told through Isaiah, I am Jehovah, and there is no God beside me. All will bow to me because I am God and there is no other. But they knew him as this great God, and all of a sudden Jesus is saying, let's begin the prayer with, our Father. He's your Father. There's this relationship that this almighty, powerful, holy God wants to call you his child. Isn't that a marvelous thing? Father. Because every one of us either had or has an earthly father. But let's be honest, all of those fathers are not good. All of those fathers were not good examples. Some of them were. But we in Christ, every one of us in Christ, as Brother Bill was saying, when we all get to heaven, well, that's all those who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us who are in Christ have a heavenly Father, and he's good. There is none like him. So Jesus is introducing to us God. And one of the things about God that is just so amazing, he wants to be your Father. Ain't God good? So we'll look at the prayer real quickly, and I say that because we're going to move right along. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, verse 13 says, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Now, like I say, Lord willing, we're going to look at a series of sermons there, but not to learn a prayer so we can chant it, but a prayer that teaches us what should be the content of a prayer. And first of all, it's about a relationship with God as our Father. So let me say a few things to begin with about what prayer is not. Now, everybody knows what this is like. You're in a public setting somewhere and somebody is asked to pray, and every now and then that person gets in his or her mind, well, I need to say a prayer that includes something that I think this person over here needs to hear. And so they'll begin using prayer as some way to communicate some truth to somebody else. And since it's a prayer, God must mean it, and they've got to listen to it. And listen, by all means, there are people around us in public at times who need to hear some things. But prayer is not the avenue for that. Okay? That's simply not its use. Prayer, as Jesus is describing, is a conversation with our Father. And in Matthew chapter 6, he tells us some things here. If you look back at verse 1, he says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men. And in the context of this, prayer is part of that. Giving alms is part of that. Fasting is part of that. These kinds of practicing righteousness, beware of doing that in order to be noticed by men. In order to be noticed by the people around you. He says, otherwise you have no reward with your Father in heaven. Now, isn't that interesting? Jesus says your motive in prayer to begin with should simply be you want to have a conversation with your Father. Okay? That's what it is. Conversation with your Father. All right? Now, so he says, don't do it so that somebody else can think something wonderful about you. No purpose in that whatsoever. But if you notice the end of the verse, he says, otherwise you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. In other words, God is saying, you need to talk with me. I am the source of all worthwhile blessings. And so, if you're trying to get a blessing by using prayer so that somebody else will think something about you, well, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So, to stand in public so that people can see you praying is to ensure, now hear me well,
to stand in public when the motive is so that others can hear you pray and think something wonderful about your life, is to ensure no answer, no blessing from the Father as a result. Jesus said that. I didn't make that up. Now, having said that, what that means is when we have public days of prayer, when we have prayer ministries, when we have prayer walking, we've done prayer walking when we went to Africa and other places, we've done prayer walking around our own neighborhood. So those things are fine, but when we do those things, there is the potential of luring us into doing them so that people will see us doing them and think something wonderful about us. Yeah, but I want the world to think something about our Sunday school class we're going to do. Or I want the world to think something about wonderful about our church. Because that is simply not the purpose of prayer. Okay? It's just not there. All right? And so we have to be very careful. You see this all the time. Somebody's having a meeting over here. Somebody's having a meeting during the week over here. Hey, so-and-so, will you come and say a prayer for us? Yeah. Okay. But are we really expecting the Father to answer? We had so-and-so pray for us. So what? You follow me? Okay. So why are we doing these things? The Father is simply saying, I want to have a conversation with you. Now, so is it okay for us to pray when we're together and people actually hear somebody, as we call, lead in prayer and out loud? Yes. If the motive is we're together, we're asking God to give us direction, to give us a blessing, to give us strength, to give us help, to forgive us, all of that, but it has to do with the answer being from God. Prayer has nothing to do with anybody else around you thinking something about you. Okay? Jesus is trying to make that clear. And one of the things we want to recognize is that any answer from God about anything is much more valuable than somebody thinking something about you. Amen? We have a world that is obsessed with what people think about me. It really doesn't matter. It just matters what the Holy Spirit thinks about you. And what have we found out about God? We have found out that God, the Almighty Sovereign of the universe, wants to be my Father. It really doesn't matter what you think about me then, amen? If He wants to be my Father. How wonderful that is. And so I want His answer. Our daughter, Julie, is 35 years old, and her husband, Will, likes to work on cars. He has a Corvette. Matter of fact, he brought his Corvette to our house one day. They came to visit. Julie came inside. He said, I'm going to work on my Corvette. He opened up the hood in our garage, took off the headers of that engine, replaced all kind of stuff on the engine, put it back together, and they drove home in that car at the end of the day. Now, had I taken that off, it'd still be all off and it wouldn't be back together. He loves working on cars. He knows how to do all that kind of stuff. The other day, they were in their garage at their home in Flowood, Mississippi. And Will told Julie, I can't find my wire crimpers. I've been looking for them for 3 months. Julie said, what is a wire crimper? And he thought to himself, they have blue handles. And that's what he told her. So Julie turned around and she said, Lord, we need to find Will's wire crimpers. And Will will tell you now that when he heard her say that, he said, yeah, wouldn't it be nice if it was that easy? And within 15 seconds, Julie turned and she looked at some stuff piled and tools over here, and she saw something blue and she pulled it out. Is this them? It was them. You see, my daughter had enough sense to know that her Father was at home. You say, that's kind of insignificant. Isn't it neat to know that God really does want to be involved in every single aspect of your life? He really does. You say, yeah, but more important things. Yes, and we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that. Matter of fact, I'm going to jump here. In case some of you are going to fall asleep in a moment, let me just get to this. Because you know this prayer. And we're going to get to these individually. But pray. Hallowed be thy what? Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will. And so content, thy name, thy kingdom, thy will. We're going to work on that. All right? See, it reminds me of the first time our church, the last church where we were, we went to a big conference to learn how to do the faith evangelism strategy. Man, we worked just morning to night for 2 or 3 days, and at the end of that conference,
We were in a church in a different town. We had driven out of town to go to the conference, but at the end of it, we were going to divide up in three-person groups and go into that neighborhood and share the gospel. And we divided up, but we weren't with people we knew. I was meeting people I'd never met before from other churches who were at the conference. And so part of that effort, though, was, hey, we have a Heavenly Father. This is what the Heavenly Father wants us to talk with Him about and wants us to be doing. And so you will assign one of the three to do the talking, but the other two are to be praying. That was very crucial because we knew that we needed our Father to give an answer. So two people and I took off down a neighborhood where we were assigned. I'd never been in that neighborhood in my life. I'd never met these people before in my life, but they were my brothers and sisters in Christ. It was one lady and one man, and I was, well, they knew I was a preacher, so guess who got to do the talking? But let me tell you what, that meant I was relying on them to pray. Well, we went to the first door. I could hear in the backyard all kind of commotion going on. They were having a party, so I knew that they weren't expecting to stop and take time to talk to us. But they finally came to the door, and when I introduced myself and told them what we wanted, they shut the door in my face. Boom! House number one. Well, that'll give you a lot of courage to go to the next house, won't it? But I'm a preacher and I'm with two people I've never met. What am I going to turn around and say? I'm just quitting. It's what I felt like doing. You ever felt like that? We went to the next house. Man, I hope y'all are praying. A lady opened the door, and immediately what I noticed was a red dot right here. That ring a bell with you? I thought, Lord, here's a Hindu lady. I don't know enough about Hindu to know how to talk to her. Here we go. I introduced myself. I told her why I was there. Well, you know, some people from some other cultures, because of their culture, they just have to show hospitality. She invited us in. We all sat down on a couch. I was on the end. She sat in a chair where it looked like there was another chair beside where they both usually sat, her and her husband. Her husband was not in there. So I began to express the faith evangelism strategy that we had just learned. Well, in just a few moments, her husband from the back room, I didn't hear what he said, but he called, and she said, I'm sorry. Of course, you know, in some cultures, boy, they got a pop. Well, she popped up, and she went in the back room. We just kind of sat there. In a few moments, she came back and sat down. Well, I just kind of kept going again then. Well, all of a sudden, her husband said something again. Pop! Well, she popped up and went in the back room. I looked at them. I thought, well, this ain't going to go good, is it? A few moments, she came back and sat down again. I kept back going one more time. She finally came back. I got to the end of that, and, you know, I just learned how they wanted us to walk through the gospel, and I got to the end. I said, would you like to invite Jesus Christ into your heart to save you? And I just figured she had to go ask her husband. She didn't go ask her husband. She said, yes. Now, I didn't do this out loud, but inside I went, really? But you know what? It wasn't because I presented the gospel in such wonderful, articulate fashion. Because I was doing something for the first time. She was interrupted three or four times by her husband. But there were two people beside me who knew our Father was at home. And they were praying. And so a Hindu lady asked Jesus to come into her heart on the second visit. Sometimes we quit after the first visit because we think, I don't want any more of that. Well, I'm so glad we went to the second door. You see, the answer from the Father is always so much better than somebody just thinking something about us. All right? And so, if you will look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Notice what the scripture says here. But you, in other words, instead of praying on the street corner, instead of going out there and hoping everybody thinks something wonderful about you, you go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. Now, secret doesn't mean you're trying to keep anybody else from knowing about God. It simply means it's just you and Him. Okay?
So you go into your closet, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And sometime when you get this word reward and repay, we're thinking about I'm getting rewarded for something I did. But this is simply the Greek terminology of your Father is going to bless you. He's going to give you the answer. He's going to give you direction. He's going to help you. You're going to get a response from the Almighty God who has riches in heaven to take care of your every need. So, the motive is just you and Him. Nobody else knows about it. No distractions. And that's a whole nother sermon, but let me just throw this out. Listen, you need a place where you can go and pray where God has your full attention. Amen? I was talking to Brother Chris this week. We were talking about the potential of another way to connect with the congregation. And, of course, some of that had to do with smartphones. And so in the middle of our discussion, I thought, wouldn't it be interesting, right in the middle of a sermon, to do that with everybody's smartphones and see how many people do like this? I'm going to challenge you to have time with God with no phone. Now, some of you are so keenly aware of your phone that you can put it on vibrate and four rooms in the house further away from you, and you're still, I can hear it. Wonder who that is. Turn it off. Does God not deserve undistracted time? That's a whole other sermon, but some of us needed to have that. But don't bypass the relationship. Jesus is saying, it's our Father. And sometimes I like to say the other side of that coin, one side of the coin is don't bypass the relationship. So much of the time, we just go to God when we want something. And how many times have I said this because I think He's saying it to me and you? When we ask Him for something that is in this material world, I think that He's saying, yeah, I got that, but what about us? You've not really been talking with me about the things that I want to talk to you about. You know what I'm saying? Without interruption. Verse 7, he says, when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. That's another sermon, but I'll just simply say this. Sometimes when we're emotional, we might say, and however you would word it, we might get emotional. We might say, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, please, 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 please. And that's fine. That's just kind of, that might be the way we express the emotional moment we're in. But Jesus is saying, don't ever think that because you repeat yourself over and over, that God hears you better. Does that make sense? Okay, so however you feel emotionally, that's fine. You're going to express yourself in different ways than somebody else is literally. But you're just going to the Father, and you're going to Him, and you're expecting Him to answer. Not because of some way that you pray. Say, well, what really gets God to answer? The shed blood of Jesus Christ. When He died on the cross, He opened up this new and living way that we could get to the throne of grace. And that is the only reason He hears any of us. It's not because we are articulate. It's not because we repeat things. It's simply because of the grace of God and Jesus Christ to open up that new and living way when He died for us. You cannot manipulate God by the form or fashion of your prayer. I think you know that, but it's good to hear it out loud sometimes. Well, I think if God will just hear it this way, He'll answer me. Listen, He is looking at Jesus on the cross. He's eternal, and He sees those things as present. He still sees His Son dying and shedding His blood for us that we might have forgiveness of sin and that we might have access to Him as our Father. Okay? So it's all about Jesus Christ. So praying in the name of Jesus is what blesses us incredibly. So as Jesus is introducing a teaching about prayer, He first of all says, don't do this. Don't do it so other people can see you. Don't repeat yourself. You're thinking that's what God's going to hear you for. And so in verse 8, He says, don't be like them. For your Father, there it is again, your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Now, somebody immediately is going to say, okay, so why do I need to pray if God already knows what I need? Good question. As a matter of fact, in this teaching about how to pray, There is one phrase in this teaching that has to do with praying for material things. Give us this day our daily bread. There it is. We'll talk some more about that when we get to it. Okay? So why do I need to pray? And see, he already knows what we need. Somebody say, well, I'm not sure why I need to. But see, here's the deal. One of the reasons we're so confused about that is because we're so used to praying for the material, earthly things that we want that are on our list. And we're thinking that God needs to be educated about all that we need. He already knows all that stuff. But see, from God's perspective, the content of our prayer, what's on our prayer list that He has in mind to talk with us about, is not material things only. It's so much else in spiritual things. And as we think about when we get to thy kingdom come and what it means to have to do with something to do with the kingdom and so many other prayers that I've encouraged you to learn out of Colossians and Philippians and Ephesians, these prayers that Paul prayed, and you think about the content within them, are we praying those kinds of prayers? And the difficulty is a lot of times we're not going to God hoping He's going to redirect our life today. We're going to God hoping He'll fix our life up the way we want Him to fix it up. We've kind of got the flow backwards. And I think one of the reasons is people are educated religiously in our culture, but they really don't know God. They really don't know God. We've got people who've been praying for 10, 20, 30, 40, and more years. And the content of their prayers is still, this is what's on my list for you to do for me that is in my earthly realm. And pretty much after that, they're done. Okay? But Father, you see, when Jesus was introducing the Father through Himself, John puts it this way, that as many as received Him, He came unto His own and His own received Him not. But in John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the right or the power to become children of God, to have this relationship with Him as Father. Okay? And there's many, those who believe in His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but were born of God. And so the Bible says that God gave birth to us spiritually. And so He literally is our Father, but spiritually. Born of God. John 3:3, Jesus talking to Nicodemus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You have a heavenly Father if you are a true Christian. And praise the Lord, He's not an absentee Father. He is with us. We need to be aware that He is home. And how great is it that He is approachable and that He invites us to be with Him, to come to Him, to follow Him, to take refuge in Him, to be carried by Him, to enjoy trusting Him. Do you trust Him? Look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 29 and 30. The Scripture says, and do not seek what you shall eat and what you shall drink, and do not keep worrying. Now, we looked at this several weeks ago when we were walking through this passage in Luke. But he says, for all these things, the nations of the world eagerly seek. But again, what does he say? Your Father knows that you need these things. Okay, so my Father knows that I need these things. Don't I need to ask for them? What did he just say? Do not seek these things. What do you mean don't seek them? But those are things that we need. Yes, but your Father, you have a Father who is in heaven. Is anything too difficult for your God? Nothing's too difficult for Him. He knows what you need. And get this wonderful promise. Most of the time we read it in Matthew 6:33, but look at Luke 12:31 and 32. But seek for His kingdom. Oh, wait. His kingdom, thy kingdom come. We're going to get to that. That which He wants us to speak with Him about. Seek for His kingdom. And what does it say? All these things shall be added unto you. Really? Well, that's His promise. Now, either He's a liar or that's going to happen. So quit worrying about those things. Stop it. Your Father
Notice what he says in verse 32. Your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. And one of our problems is when we read this chapter, it's our time to read that chapter in our daily reading. Okay, your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. We don't get all excited about that. You know why? That's not what we're looking for. That's not on our prayer list. Our want list is not the kingdom of God. Even though when Jesus was asked by a disciple, Lord, teach us to pray, he said, this is what the Father wants to talk with you about. Thy kingdom come. Okay? But that's not on our prayer list. Same thing in verse 13 of chapter 11, Luke 11, 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly whom? Father, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. When's the last time you had the Holy Spirit on your prayer list? To those who ask him. How many times in your normal prayer life have you said, Lord, fill me with your Spirit? We understand doctrinally that when we become a Christian, the Lord comes to live on the inside. We're baptized by the Spirit, but we need that intoxication of the Spirit. When's the last time you said, Lord, fill me with your Spirit? Is that on our prayer list? And so when we come across these verses that says your Father is going to give you all this stuff that you need on earth if you seek for his kingdom, your Father is going to give you the kingdom, your Father is going to give you his Holy Spirit, are those things even on our prayer list? And so one of the things I want you to know, we need Jesus to teach us how to pray. Those of us who've been in church all our lives still have prayer lists that are full of nothing but earthly things. And he's saying, my name, my kingdom, my will. I want to talk to you about those things. Because I'm going to give you all this other stuff. I know you need that. I know you need that. And I'm a good father. Would you say he's a good father? I know you need that. But I've chosen to give you my kingdom. I've chosen to give you my Spirit, the Spirit of the eternal God, the only God, the majestic God. He's indescribable. And he wants to give us his Spirit. Talk about when we get there, we'll sing and shout the victory. Right now we ought to, woo-hoo! This great God is giving me out of the grace of his heart his kingdom and his Spirit and all these other things. He said he'd take care of that. We should be a people who can hardly be contained. Amen? But that's not on our prayer list. And so much of the time we're kind of disappointed because God didn't answer my prayer the way I wanted him to. And so much of the time the reason is because he's saying, hey, I've got that. What about us? I want to talk about how you honor my name. I want to talk about this kingdom that I want to give you. I want to talk about my will, not your will. And so as we walk through Jesus teaching us what we need to talk with the Father about, we need to realize we've got a relationship with the only true God as Father. I pulled one of so many verses out of the scripture, Psalm 145, 3, to close with, great is the Lord and highly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. And this Jehovah God is my Father. I happen to be very incredibly blessed that not only do I have a wonderful, wonderful earthly Father who was and still is an incredible blessing in my life, I also was blessed to get a father-in-law who loved the Lord, who came from a different culture. And so all of that, I've been incredibly blessed to have them in my life. But both of them put together 10 times over can't touch how magnificent our Heavenly Father is. And so whether or not you had a good father or father-in-law or not, you have a Heavenly Father. There is none like him. But he wants to talk with you about some things. And it might be that part of your disappointment in your prayer life has been that you've only been having conversation with God. You're the only one talking and you're wondering what he's doing. And he's saying, why aren't you listening to me? So, Lord, teach us to pray. In a moment, we're going to sing a prayer, and that prayer is glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. And so, Lord, teach us to pray so that our prayer life with you as our Father will lead into a conversation that will help us know what you want to talk with us about, that will lead us to change the very course of our lives so that your name is honored, your kingdom is priority, and your will is our plan and not ours. Would you make that your prayer as you sing this? Let me pray with you, Father. Thank you that we can call you Father, that we do that not by some metaphor, but that you have given birth to us spiritually through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your grace in our lives. And Lord, may it be that we find a great joy to recognize that every moment of every day, you're at home. And it changes the very perspective of how we're going to live out that day. Thank you for your love. Thank you for teaching us. Teach us to pray such that never again will we go back to praying prayers that are simply egocentric. Certainly never go back to using prayer in a way that you never intended. But Lord, that we might have conversation with you. Sure, we will talk, but help us to listen to your word as your Spirit speaks it to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.